The sooner we get after the redoubt, the better.
Ryan and Yardy had heard the crash as they left the Baron's house and came running.
Fireblast, are you okay, Mildred?
Sure. What did Robertson have to say?
Ryan filled them in as Yardy arrived, puffing and blowing hard. The Sec Chief said that his people would help in whatever way they could, although he was quick to point out that the Gate and companions were far better equipped for the task.
So what now, Dad?
Round up the others. I've got to find Gloria and Tammy. We need to get the plan into place so we all know what we're doing.
Ryan looked up at the sky. Twilight was fast turning into night.
The dark will help us if we can move in the next hour or two. Then we can reach the redoubt and get in before sunrise, which will give us better cover. But we'll have to move it.
Leave it to me. If JB and Mildred stay here, I'll find Jack, Doc, and Christy. I figure I know where they may be anyway.
Okay, boy. Let's go to it. There's no time to lose.
While the one-eyed man headed off to where the Gate were gathered, Dean headed toward the hospital. Along the way, he detoured toward the barn where the tractor wags had been found. It was silent and dark as he approached, but he thought he'd find Jack still there, as the albino hadn't returned with the salvaged tires. Dean approached openly, using what little light there was so that Jack would be able to see him and not mistake him for an attacker. At all times, Jack was on the defensive.
Jack, you there?
The young cotter reached the open doors. There was no answer, and as he peered into the darkness, it was impossible to make out any shapes within.
Jack?
A white wraith, like a shadow in negative, rose from the recesses of the back of the barn.
Dean? What?
We're meeting to plan the attack. Got to round up Doc and Christy, too, but I figured I'd find you here.
Why?
I don't know. Figured you'd need some rest, and maybe you'd find the quietest place.
Figured right. Tired easy. Pox eating me. Clothes hard on skin. Needed to let it breathe. Maybe try relaxed totally.
Damn. Sorry I had to disturb you.
Jack came out into the twilight. His white hair and pale skin seemed, if possible, to be more ashen than usual.
Okay. Need rest, but no time left. We need move. What now?
Now we get Christy and Doc, and I'm pretty sure I know where they are.
Let's go. Where?
I figure the med building. Maybe they'll get an idea of how bad the disease is spreading.
Jack nodded and joined Dean as they moved back in toward the center of the ville. There was an oasis of complete calm and silence. There was no one to be found. They headed for the med building.
Really funny how everyone's avoiding this part of the ville.
Not really.
They covered the last few yards in silence, and Dean carefully opened the door. As he and Jack entered, Dean was taken aback at how the building had changed since the last time he'd set foot in it. Before, Hector and his workers had managed to keep the small block clean and fresh-smelling, even though it was becoming overcrowded. Now it was bedlam. The charnel house smell permeated the air, cutting through everything. Every bed was full, and there were pallets in every available space, each with its own patient slowly fading. It looked as though the Ville women who'd previously aided Hector had either succumbed or opted out of helping, as he seemed to be coping almost entirely by himself. The only assistance he had right now was Doc and Christy, who were doing their best to fill the breach, even though the old man himself had begun the first stages of the pox.
Shit.
My dear lads, are you here to assist, or because you yourselves have taken a turn for the worse?
Jack didn't answer, seemingly didn't hear, as he surveyed the pestilence spread across the beds and floor space of the med building. But Dean was quick to reply.
I've come to round you all up. Found Jack, now you two. We're going to get the plan of action.
We're ready to move already?
The Gate are assembling, and we're all getting a full briefing.
Dean, you're using the sort of language those cold hearts use about planning a fight.
Yeah, but if we're gonna best them, then what better way to think of it?
Reckon you'll be able to cope until we get back, Hector?
You think you will be coming back?
The healer looked at Christy, his eyes deep in his head, shot through with red and lined with black discolored skin. He had the initial stages of the disease and was still working himself harder than his sick body could cope. He knew that his time was limited, but he was determined to not give in to the pox until he had no choice.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't want to give you any false hope. All I know is that we'll fight to the last to try and get that antidote and destroy any samples they have left. Because if we don't, We're all chilled anyway.
Hector's face creased into something that may have been a smile.
Well, if you're going to do that, I guess the least I can do is try and keep it together here until you get back.
Ryan Cotter wondered what Gloria and Tammy had been up to when he'd left JB and Mildred, heading toward the northern end of the strip. After the firefight, the gate had massed in the center of the drag, waiting for word from their leader. Gloria had come and surveyed the dead, and had then headed back toward her people. It was only when Ryan approached the gate cluster that he realized that something else was going on. He could hear the crackle of flames, and from the center of the group, a light began to radiate, silhouetting the warriors as they stood. Ryan pushed his way through the throng, the gate people giving way easily when they saw who it was. The one-eyed warrior reached the gathering center, which had circled around a rapidly built fire. Gloria and Tammy were in the middle, leading the chanting. In front of them lay a pile of corpses. From their pale skin, mixed sex, and tightly cropped hair, Ryan guessed that these must have been the Illuminated One's corpses. But there were no uniforms. Gloria was still chanting, almost in a trance, but Tammy was aware enough to see Cotter as he emerged. She left her queen and approached him.
What's happening here, Tammy?
You know our tradition. We burn the chilled, as we're always on the move. And although these people were our enemies, as they enter the next realm, they are warriors stripped bare of allegiance just like us. It's the least we can do to give them a noble departure.
I appreciate that, but we can't waste time. The wag's ready to roll, and we need to all know what we're doing triple fast if we're going to move and be in place before sunrise.
It is not a waste of time, Ryan.
You know what I mean.
Maybe. But it'll be okay. We're almost through.
Ryan cast his eye over the corpses.
What have you done with their uniforms? We're really going to need those.
You don't need to be dressed to enter the next realm, for fuck's sake. We stripped them because Gloria figured you'd need them. I'll get them for you.
That'd be good. Then I'll leave you to finish in peace. But tell Gloria we can't waste any more time.
It's not a fucking waste.
Tammy swiftly departed. Within a couple of minutes, she'd returned and handed a pile of clothing to Ryan.
Now go. We'll be with you soon enough, and we'll bring the headpieces with us. There are too many for one to carry, and you'll need to figure who'll fit into these uniforms.
Ryan nodded, then left the gate to their ceremony.
What the hell are those women doing?
Something that's none of our business, Yardy. Everything set?
Yeah. We've handed as much ammo and blasters over to JB that we can spare. We have to keep some for ourselves, you know. And any wags or transports you need, they've been readied.
Other transport?
We got a few horse-drawn carts and the horses for them. I know the gates have theirs, but I figure they may be useful. Some of us want to volunteer to go with you as well.
But you said...
I know what I said, and I wasn't wrong. You and the gate are far better fighters than we'll ever be. But that don't matter. We can help. And if we don't, well, shit, that might be the margin between winning and losing. Between us all having a future, I'm not. And that's a gamble I ain't willing to make.
Ryan grasped the fat man by the arm.
Shit. You got more balls than I thought, Yardy. I'm sorry I misjudged you.
I don't know about that. I got more balls than I thought.
Okay, you gather everyone from Crossroads who you can, and we'll meet at the south end of the drag as soon as the gate's finished. I mean everyone, too. Even those who'll be staying here. I want everyone to know what's going on. It's not a difficult plan, but so many people involved makes it that way.
Yardy nodded and left Ryan as he went to gather his people who were still standing and fit enough to take part. Ryan headed back to the wag, where he found Mildred had been joined by Jack, Dean, Doc, and Christy.
Fireblast, where the fuck is JB gone?
Armory. They're turning guns and ammo over to us, and John wanted to see what we had before we started.
There isn't time. When everyone else is preparing... What the hell? Has everyone lost their shit or what?
Sorry I'm late. I just wanted to get an overall idea of what we had.
Which is, JB?
Not much. But the gate have enough of an armory as it is, and we'll be okay. Plus, there are some more laser blasters from the chilled illuminated ones.
Speaking of which, what are we going to do about those uniforms?
Good question, Mildred. I figure we can only divide these up according to who they fit. They won't notice anything at first, as long as the uniforms fit.
What about the helmets?
The women will bring those. They're not so important, and I guess they're all one size, but adjustable. If they're anything like the ones we've come across before.
Okay, I guess we'd better get these fitted up if possible, then.
Christy took the uniforms from Ryan and began to hold them up one by one. They were marked by laser burns, but the biggest problem was their size. Some of them were large enough for Ryan or her, but a couple of them were too small for Dean.